Part of what we are working on in our 175th year anniversary is to try to think about how our church can be going out and connecting with our community. If you were here or heard the sermon on from the belfry, you know, we need to think a little bit different about how that bell worked. You know, the bell would ring and call people in, and we found, you know, that just isn't the case so much anymore, that we got to kind of act more like that bell. We got to be that sound that goes out and tries to connect with our community. And so one of the things we wanted to do here this year was to is to try to connect a little bit more with the ministries that are already happening in our community. So, you know, some of the things we've been doing the last several weeks is try to get out and to participate a little bit with what is already happening, to make some connections with the things that are already going on. And one of the things that we do participate in here and support is the Bible book trailer that serves the schools of Huntington. And so we've got Kathy Moore here today, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about what that program is like and give us some opportunities that we may be able to participate in that awesome ministry. But before she comes up, we're going to watch a little video here.
We have kids that'll raise their hand and say, "Does God even love my dad who's in prison? He did some really bad things." And we can say, "Yes, and that's why he came, because people are sinful and people need forgiveness for their sins. And of course God loves your dad." I'm gonna let it shine everywhere I go.
Welcome back. I feel like I haven't seen you guys in like forever.
One time I had a picture of the empty tomb, and I had a boy say, "Mrs. Hersey, what's that a picture of?" And I said, "Oh, that's the empty tomb when Jesus rose from the dead." And he said, "What? Jesus rose from the dead? I thought he just died on the cross and that was it."
God is our refuge.
We can let them know what the real truth is, because the resurrection is a very important part of that story of Jesus dying for us on the cross.
By the Book is a release time Bible education program that is supported by the Associated Churches of Huntington County. We reach out to third and fourth graders at all six of the elementary schools in Huntington.
By the Book is reaching 675 students each week.
I mean, this is just such a huge opportunity to grow Christ's body. And I just love that I get the opportunity, and something that seems so simple as bringing kids out to a trailer and learning about Jesus, like what the impact is, it's exponential, and I love being a part of it.
This feels like church to me, and I've never been to church, only like a few times.
It's really fun, and we can learn in the Bible about Joseph, God, and also more about church.
Mental health issues are affecting kids at younger and younger ages. And what we offer here in the Bible trailer is actually resources to be able to help them with damaging thoughts, and teaching them how to pray to God, how to meditate on His Word.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for having me here this morning. I'm excited to be here and have had an opportunity to meet some of you as we were discussing before we started or during the fellowship time, which I love. Our church doesn't do that little meet and greet thing anymore, and I like that still, so that's kind of fun to be able to just to visit a little bit there. I want to congratulate you on your 175 years. That is just a great legacy that you have here in this church, and celebrating that like you did yesterday with the community, realizing that there are churches that are just solid and continuing on. And I just thank you for being able to witness in that way. And I thank you for your support of By the Book. The Associated Churches of Huntington County is going to celebrate next year. 2020 will be 75 years that weekly religious education has happened in Huntington County. And we praise God that He has protected this ministry all these years. It started out in the school corporation, in the school buildings, and then moved out into mobile classroom trailers and then off school property. And there's three things that make us legal, and that is being off school property, no government funding. So we are solely supported by churches and individuals and organizations to help us keep going. And the third thing is that we have to have parental consent. We have to have a signed permission slip by a parent or a guardian in order for those students to be able to attend By the Book. And as the video said, we reach out to third and fourth grade. We are starting to go down that path of trying to add fifth grade, but kind of hitting some resistance of not being able to have time in their day is what we're hearing in order to fit that in. But we would love to. And it's just once a week that we visit each one of the schools. And most of our schools give us like 35 minutes for class time. But you've still got to have that walking time from the school to the trailer. And we use volunteers to help us to meet the class at the school door. They'll meet the classroom teacher, and they'll walk the students out to the Bible trailer, and then sit in during class, and then they'll walk the kids back to the school as well. So we are so dependent upon our volunteers to help us as well. And you saw a couple of those in the green sweatshirts. Those were a couple of our volunteers. And then the two gals that we're talking on the video are some teachers. Debbie Hersey was the one that was teaching in the video, and she teaches at that. The video was taken at Flint Springs, and we had permission for all of those kids to be in the video this time, and so we loved having that. But she teaches at Flint Springs, at Salamone, and at Roanoke, and then Stephanie Thompson was also in the video, and she teaches at Horseman and Andrews and Lincoln, and then I also teach at Lincoln. At Lincoln, we have a unique. It's a uniquely different for us there, because every other school we were able to secure property within walking distance, that we could be within walking distance of the school. With Lincoln, that was not possible, and so Bethel Assembly of God on Taylor Street in Huntington opened their doors, or basically their parking lot, to us, and we park the trailer there and have our own electrical poles there to hook up to. And this last year, we raised funds for a new trailer, and that was what you got to see on the video. You got to see the outside and the inside of the new trailer that goes around to five of the schools. But then we have our older trailers that were getting tired of being around that route of going all over the county, that we have parked at Bethel. And so then we transport those students by church vans. So we need more volunteers there that help in transporting the kids, because we need two volunteers. So that's kind of how we're set up. And so there's three of us that teach, and then we have numerous volunteers. I have sign-up sheets back at my display, and I'm going to be back at the display after I get through speaking this morning, but if you would be interested in volunteering to walk the kids or drive the kids, you can talk to me about that. Also, I have a volunteer sign-up sheet for our prayer team. We need prayer, and we believe in prayer. And so we have implemented a prayer team that you could just tell me what day works best for you to set aside time to pray for By the Book. And then I would give you the schedule of that day, where that trailer is going to be, who's going to be teaching, who our volunteer is going to be, and what the class times are, so that you could specifically pray for each one of those class times. that the kids would be come in ready to listen and learn and all of that. And so so those opportunities are there as well. And then also I have brochures back there and envelopes too. If you would like to support us financially and be a part of that, you could grab that as well. I have a little illustration I would like to show you this morning about public schools. Okay, that's not supposed to fall out like that. A little malfunction for my illustration. It's not supposed to fall out just yet. Okay, but our founding fathers of our country back in 1789 made it a law that schools, public schools, needed to teach religion and morality and knowledge. It was taught that if religion was taken out, that morality would crumble. And knowledge taught without religion and morality was dangerous. And so they made it a law that they had to incorporate all three of those. Well, as you know, a three-legged stool cannot stand on one leg. And our schools cannot stand on one leg either. They are broken, and they've been broken for years because you are very aware that religion was taken out of the schools and morality did crumble. And so we know that our schools are broken. We know that if you've been in the schools in recent years that principals and teachers are trying to teach morality through life skills, teaching life skills, okay? That should be taught at home, but a lot of those are not being taught at home. But there again, without teaching that alongside religion with it, it doesn't work. Because if you do not have a relationship with God the Father, with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, what does it matter if you do right or wrong? It doesn't matter. And so we need to give them a reason to matter and show them why life does matter, that God did create them with a plan and a purpose for their life, and that he loves them and that he wants a relationship with them. And by the book, we start at the beginning. Our textbook is the NIV Adventure Bible. And we have those you saw in the trailer. They're on the walls in there. And we use them every time the kids are in there. We pull them down and we read scripture from them. They love to read. They love to read out of God's word. But on top of that, we raise funds to purchase Bibles that we give to our third graders. We give those out before we break at Christmas break. We give each one of our third graders their very own Bible to take home. These are amazing Bibles, and they're full color, and they're exciting for the kids to look in. There's lots of learning tools in there and words to treasure that highlight verses for them to learn and just different things that they can learn from. So we use those, and then we send those home. The kids are so excited to get their own Bible, and for many of them, this is the first Bible they've ever had a hold of. Some of them will say it's their first Bible in their home. But what's really exciting is when they come back and they tell us that they're reading at home with mom or dad, maybe before they go to bed or something. And so just really exciting to hear that. So our third graders receive those. Our fourth graders receive a devotional. This is a 60-day devotional, What a God, and it tells them all about who God is and what God has done for them. And this is encouraging just a little devotion time. They've already got their Bible, so we encourage them to be in God's Word and being able to take in that time with God. And so we encourage them, if they get the first one done, that we've got a second one for them. And this one is all about telling others about God, witnessing to God to others, because we want to make little disciples out of them and having them tell others about what they are learning as well. We are privileged to be able to, during that time that they're in the trailer, that we will have, like I said, we will have a time that we are reading from God's Word. We'll have usually a video clip that will go along with the story. We know that kids learn in many different ways, and so we try to target different ways so that they can learn. We always have something for them to color as well, having God's Word in front of them so that they can take it in that way as well. We also do memory verses with them and teaching them God's Word in that way, and we want them to memorize. We know that if they just listen to God's Word, they're going to retain 10%. If we read God's Word, you're going to retain 25%. If you study God's word, you retain 50%. But if you memorize God's word, you're going to retain 100%. But we don't want it to just be head knowledge. We want it to be heart knowledge as well. So we teach them what that verse means and teach them how they can apply that to their life. And we talk about how important God's word is and for us to read from, to learn from, that this is our guidebook for life. And one of the verses that we teach them in the beginning is Hebrews 4:12, which is a long verse, but we want them to know, and I'm going to put some motions to it because that's what we do in the trailer is we usually put motions that helps them remember. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. We talk about how God's word changes us from the inside out. And last week, Central Christian Church in Huntington had chosen By the Book as their mission for their Bible school. So I got to go share with the kids there. And I showed them some motions to Psalm 119:11. And that is, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I let them make an ugly face when we talk about sin, because sin is ugly and it is not what we want to do. But that's what God's word teaches us, is how we can make better choices and how we can live for him, how we can have a relationship with him. And we want each of them to decide on their own. We are able to teach the gospel, and that is amazing. We are able to teach the gospel, and we are able to pray with them in class and sing songs some of the kids will say, I thought about that song. I sang that song all week. And it's like, yes, that's what we want, because we use scripture songs. We use a lot of songs that have a great, great message, and they're fun songs for them to want to do. And they love that time. But they also love that prayer time where they can either pray silently or pray out loud. And if you were in there to hear them, it would break your heart, some of the prayers that you hear that them praying. And as Debbie was talking about the student that had asked if God loved her dad because he was in jail and had done some really bad things, we hear prayers in every class about parents that are in jail or parents that have a drug problem. And we are just in an epidemic, I think, in our area. Well, not in our area, in every area. But I'm just thinking, you know, these kids, they have a burden for their parents, and they're praying for their parents. And it's just heartbreaking, you know. I'm just thinking, when I was that age, you know, my biggest concern was, what was mom fixing for dinner, you know. And I grew up on a farm and had a very stable family, and it just breaks my heart. But I am thrilled that we can reach them with God's word and give them a place that they can pray, give them a place that gives them hope for their future, that they know that they can have that relationship with God, and that God is with them, God loves them, and he's going to see them through whatever it is that they are facing, whatever struggles that they are facing. They know that they can face it with God's help. So thank you for partnering with us and helping us to reach these kids that need God's love. They need God's word in their hearts. And so we just thank you for helping us to do that and reaching them. And I'll be back there after.
You know, we modified a little bit how we give to missions here at the first of the year. If you remember, I should have brought one up here, but one of the options that we had there, if you want to directly give to one of the ministries, remember we had that card you could fill out and you could do that. I put a couple of those back there. If you would like to modify how you're giving and would like to include By the Book, you most certainly could do that. So those are in the back there as well. And thank you, Kathy, for that. That was very good. And what, you know, the illustration with the stools, just spot on. I've been an educator for, you know, quite a long time, and you know, that's in a picture form. That's so true, and how awesome it is that we have this program in our county to do just this, just to bring scripture to kids, and how important it is here. In fact, let me illustrate how important it is. I ran across this. George Barna does a lot of Christian research here. And I'll read a quote from some of his research. You see some numbers up here. So what a person believes at age 13 is pretty much what that person will continue to believe throughout his or her lifetime. Look at these numbers. Children between the ages of 5 and 13 have a 32% probability of accepting Christ as their Savior. That likelihood drops to 4% for teenagers between the ages of 14 and 18 and ticks back up to 6% for adults older than 18. So think about that. You know, think about people that are coming to Christ and they're making these decisions for Christ, to be followers of Christ. The largest percentage there is in the ages of 5 to 13. Significant difference then as we get older. Third and fourth grade, right? How old are those guys?
8, 9, 10.
Yeah. Bingo. Yeah. I think this hits perfectly here, that we have children in an age where they are most able to receive and receive in such great numbers the love of Christ. I think it's just awesome that we have a part of this, where we're bringing the importance of this to people. And I think we live in an age where, you know, this is just another book that sits on a shelf. And I think what this ministry is doing is saying much more than that. Scripture, the Bible, and the power that it has popped up in the news this week. Did any of you see the story about Abraham Lincoln's Bible? You see this came in here? We had, news that one of his Bibles that he received as a gift shortly after the Civil War, there was a women's group at a hospital that gave him a Bible, and it sort of helped answer one of the questions that we had about Abraham Lincoln. Some people kind of thought, what kind of faith did Abraham Lincoln really have? They questioned what he really was. Well, this Bible, here's a picture of it. It didn't show up very well, but that's the Bible that's going to be on display this week. And it pretty much confirms how Abraham Lincoln was grounded in his faith, with no doubt that influenced how he governed our country. And later he wrote this that I wanted to share with you. He said, "In regard to this great book, I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to man. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare here and hereafter are to be found portrayed in it." Pretty strong conviction that Abraham Lincoln had towards this, towards Scripture, that this is the path that we have to know right from wrong. And everything that is in our hearts that we should desire, both about this life and the next life, are found here. And I think we know that. I no doubt, as followers of Christ in Pleasant Chapel on this day, I think we know the importance of Scripture, but I would contend, I think, a lot more people sort of know it as well, but choose to reject it. They choose to reject the power that is found in Scripture. One of the passages that is used quite often here to talk about the authority of Scripture comes from 2 Timothy in chapter 3 and 16, and we probably all know this verse. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now, no doubt when Paul wrote this to Timothy, you know, we didn't have the New Testament yet, so he was referring to what we would call the Old Testament. But now, today, since we've canonized this whole text, it applies to all of Scripture that we have in both the Old and New Testament, that all of this is inspired by God, it's touched by God, it's God-breathed, and we encounter Him through it. We are the recipients of the power that is there. And again, because it is this book that I think is, you know, it's everywhere. There's, you know, not too long ago it was hard to find a Bible, but boy, you have multiple copies in your homes, and it's so easy because we have so many and we're just flooded with this to sometimes neglect it. And what is it? What is it that this Bible does? And I was thinking about this week. I kind of thought, you know, really the Bible kind of works, no doubt, through the Spirit, but it kind of functions this way in three different categories. The Bible is informational, it is relational, and it's transformational. And I think this is kind of how Scripture works as you and I encounter this. And I think it gets more important as you go down towards the bottom of the little triangle or the pyramid there. You know, first of all, it's informational. It gives us the data, the text, the stuff, the stories that help you and I understand God's plan throughout all of time, but just in a factual kind of way. You know, what happened at creation, and what did God intend for man, and when? What did we do to mess all this up? And then what did God do to help us work our way out of sin? How did he communicate through us through time, through his prophets, and through the scripture of the day? And how did people react to that? And how were people supposed to react? And what happened when they became sinful? And what happened when this thing just kept cycling all along and we just couldn't get things right through this plan? And what was it that Jesus did when he came? And what does that mean for us? And how did the church react after he came? And what's the future like? These are all the factoid kind of pieces that we can gather from Scripture from an informational kind of fashion. Data. Stuff you could Google. You know, you could go find just these facts about what God has for us through the Bible. But then the next step is relational. The more we know these facts, the more we study this, we begin to develop a relationship with our Father through coming to know Christ as revealed to us by the stories that we have in Scripture. And so there's this relationship that develops between us and our Father, our Creator, because of what Scripture provides for us. But I think, too, relationally, it does it also horizontally as well. As you and I all walk on this faith journey together, we're kind of related relationally because of how we are bounded and binded by Scripture. It helps you and I because we're sharing the same story. We're walking through this together. And we have groups like Pleasant Chapel Church that meets here because we're together and we are one in what we believe the Bible is about. The last one there, and probably the most important one, is it is transformational. It changes us into the beings we are supposed to be through the Spirit. There is power and authority in this, but you gotta open it. You know, just sitting collecting dust by itself, it's probably not gonna do anything. You can't just do osmosis and all this stuff's gonna happen. It does require us to kind of get involved with it and to read it and to experience and to pray over it and to ask God to shed his light on it. It is there for us, but it does require us to do something about it. And I was thinking, how does it change us? And I thought about that passage. I know I use this a lot from Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." There is a transformation. You've heard me say that word an awful lot since I've been here. This change, we're to become. We're to change from what we were to what we are supposed to be. And it starts with a renewal of the mind that happens as we encounter Christ through reading Scripture. We no doubt started a new life when we received Christ, but that life needs nourishment. Just like our physical bodies need food, our spiritual lives need nourishment. And we get that nourishment from his word because Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Christ is that bread, and you and I continue in that bread when we do this, when we encounter him here. Maybe the lousy way of saying that is, you are what you eat. You know, and from a spiritual perspective, you are what you eat. What are we filling our minds with? What is transforming our minds? What are you reading? What are you studying? How are you talking? What are your conversations? If it's not good, it'll probably produce not good. Garbage in, garbage out. Did you ever hear that one? You know, that's how you're feeding your mind, and that's probably how your soul will become. And I think, too, this instrument transforms us because, as Kathy said, you know, sin's ugly, and we make that ugly face because it is an ugly part of our life, and you and I and all of humanity have this. And if you were with us a few weeks ago, we were working through 1 John, and in there he challenges his readers to not love the world or anything's in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world, for all that is in the world. And remember, we talked about these three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in riches comes not from the Father, but from the world. And we come to know these. We come to know about the lust of the flesh and the eyes and the pride of life through Scripture. Scripture helps us identify what sin is in my life. Spirit, reveal to me as I read through these Scriptures, what's in my life that I need help on, that I need to take off. And you know, if you remember those three forms of sin that the attacker will get us on, Christ had the same thing. Remember we talked about this when Christ was tempted in the desert? Remember the devil took him out and said, "Hey, you're hungry. You haven't eaten in 40 days. Make those stones bread." He took him up and he showed him all the stuff. He showed him all this power. And he hit him up with all three of those things. Satan hit him with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And in each of those cases, and that story tells us that Christ was tempted in all ways like you and I are, that in all three of those, Christ's answer to Satan was the same thing. It is written. It is written. And it is written. And that's how he defeated Satan there. He came back and said, "Scripture. Scripture. And Scripture." There's power here, and that's how Christ resisted sin. And no doubt that's how you and I resist sin as well. Lincoln said, paraphrased, "This great gift you and I have with Scripture, this is how you and I know right and wrong. All the desires that you and I need to have, both in this life and the next, are to be found here in Scripture." And what an awesome privilege you and I have. It wasn't that many years ago where you didn't have Bibles everywhere. They were hard to come by. What a privilege you and I have, such easy access to this, especially today. Yeah, you can read it. You can flip it up on your phone in your car. You can read it on your tablet. You can listen to it in a podcast. So many ways for us to encounter God's Word today because of the time we live in. And we read that in order that we can know these facts, the information about that. But we do it also to develop this relationship vertically as well as horizontally. And that's part of what we do here. But also and ultimately we do it to be transformed, to become these people that you and I were meant to be through what happens, through how the Spirit would change our lives as we would encounter Him in the Word. And so I hope, you know, today as we kind of get reminded a little bit about the importance of the Bible and what an awesome ministry by the book has here in this county and what a privilege it is to be in Huntington County that so many of our kids get to encounter this at such an early age, that I hope that we would gain a deeper appreciation for that. And a couple things. Maybe we need to spend a little more time ourselves here. And maybe you know what else? Maybe we need to be prayerful about an awesome ministry that's in all of our schools as well and to support them in any way that we can. Would you pray with me? Father, I just thank you for, first of all, your Word. Your Word that is truth and that Word that's revealed to us in the Bible. And that same Word became flesh and came to us as your Son. And that's how we come to know you. And we praise you and thank you for that. And Lord, I just lift up this ministry that's in Huntington County and what an awesome thing that it is doing for so many people, and thank you for allowing us to participate in that as well. I'd ask that you would bless that and allow your kingdom to be magnified through the great works that they are doing. In your name we pray. Amen.